This episode is brought to you by the American Homebrewers Association, host of HomebrewCon Online, a virtual gathering of homebrewers happening this June 18th through the 20th. With an all-star lineup of speakers, HomebrewCon Online is an opportunity to enhance your brewing skills and knowledge, all from the comfort of your own home. Tune in for live seminars, demonstrations, virtual expos, meetups, and happy hours. Learn more and register at homebrewcon.org. That's homebrewcon.org. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, May 7th, 2020. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Christy Huff and Ben Folta from Norfolk Brewing Company in Norfolk, Arkansas, talk about brewing big in a tiny town and using wild yeast harvested from the local pawpaw fruit. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives for audio and video shows. If you go to basicbrewingshop.com, you can find our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook as well. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. And if you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And thanks to everybody who is helping out, especially nowadays. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. This past Monday, financial supporters got to see an early release of our Basic Brewing video episode about my brown ale, my James's brown ale. All financial supporters also got the recipe, based on the one from listener Steven from Rhode Island. Upper-tier Patreon supporters got an extra bonus episode shot beside the brew pot that showed more of the details of the brewing session as it happened. It's kind of a zen sort of experience, or at least for me, to kind of watch the brewing process. I invested in a better microphone, so you don't hear so much of the wind and background noise, although the chirping birds do add a bit of, ambiance. As always, thanks to everybody who's supporting or continuing to support the show financially, and especially welcome to the new folks that have signed on recently. Well, as you heard at the top of the show, there is bad news and good news from the AHA this week, as I think we all expected to hear. HomebrewCon in Nashville has been canceled, and that's a heartbreaker for us because it's the first year without an in-person HomebrewCon for Steve and me since Orlando in 2006. And, you know, Nashville is within driving distance, so that was going to be fun. But we will look forward to 2021 in San Diego, and that'll be the third one that we've attended there. And, of course, the good news is that there's going to be the online HomebrewCon this year. So, theoretically, I guess this could be the biggest HomebrewCon ever because everybody can attend from their homes around the world, I guess. I'm sure we'll be talking more about HomebrewCon online as time goes on, June 18th through 20th. In the meantime, as I said at the top, you can find out more at homebrewcon.org, homebrewcon.org. There's helpful news from our sponsors at Tavor. Megan at Tavor says every week they're releasing a new Support the Breweries box on their app. Each box will donate a portion of the proceeds to craft brewers guilds to make it easier for breweries to self-distribute and to sell online. And you can find out more by going to tavor.com, that's T-A-V as in Victor, O-U-R.com, and clicking on the blog link at the top of the page. And if you listen to the show, you know about Tavor. It's the way to select delicious craft beers you may not be able to find in your area and have them delivered to you, which is especially important nowadays when we're trying to stay at home as much as possible. It's not a beer of the month club where someone chooses beer for you. You only pay for the beer that you choose over the course of the month. Signing up for Tavor is free. Just create an account at tavor.com, T-A-V as in Victor, O-U-R.com, and download their iPhone or Android app. You'll receive notifications for two new beers each day that are available for purchase with in-depth tasting notes from Philippe Tavor. This month, look for selections from Mikeller SD, Hop Butcher for the World, Deciduous, 12% Beer Project, wow, Yaya Brewing, Little Beast, Funk Factory, Mast Landing, Brewery West, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, Revision, Ology, and Goodfire Brewing. Wow, that's a lot of stuff. If you're not interested in the beers that you see, no worries. Just skip the ones that you don't want, which is part of the beauty of the whole thing. However, when you see something that you do want, and you will, don't wait. Just click on it and add it to your crate. Your beer arrives fresh every few weeks, allowing you enough time to fill a box and pay the least shipping. Why don't you check it out? It doesn't cost anything to sign up, and there is no obligation to purchase anything. So what do you got to lose? In fact, if I can ask you a favor, go to Tavor.com, T-A-V as in Victor, O-U-R.com, or download the app, and when you sign up, enter the promo code BASICBREWING, that's all one word, and you get $10 off your first shipment of $25 or more. So it's free $10. Again, it's free to sign up, and there's no obligation to purchase at any time. Sign up at Tavor.com, T-A-V as in Victor, O-U-R.com, or with the Tavor app and enter Basic Brewing as the promo code. And thanks very much to Tavor for their continued support of this show. And I hope you're supporting our sponsors of the program. I'm thinking of getting adventurous on my next brew day. After reading Lars Marius Garshall's book on farmhouse brewing and talking to him last week, and if you haven't heard that show, you need to. Lots of fun inspiration there. I want to try my take on an oven-baked beer. Jamie Barlow on Instagram posted pictures of the Captinus that he brewed on Big Brew Day this past weekend, and it looked like a lot of fun. He did say that his family put up a little resistance to the aroma from the baking mash, which has me a little bit cautious. But I'm thinking if I did a small batch brew, brew in a bag version, I could just pull some of the thick mash out of there, bake it for a while, and get some of that delicious caramelized flavor, and then add it back to the bag. And then, continue the process. It won't be the same process that Lars Marius documented, but it might be an interesting variation. So stay tuned for more on that. Hey, if you need inspiration for your next brew, head on over to highgravitybrew.com. Desiree and Dave from High Gravity used to be in the tech world, you may know, and their website shows that. The Build Your Own Beer feature that they've designed is great for putting together your next recipe. You see a whole well-stocked homebrew store's worth of ingredients all together on one long page on the Build Your Own Beer feature. You got your base malts, or base malts, specialty grains, hops, yeast, adjuncts. The list literally goes on and on, and the total of your order remains at the bottom of the browser window so you can keep track of what you're spending. Very handy. It's amazing the variety of ingredients that can be found at highgravitybrew.com. And if you're in a position where you can upgrade your gear during these times when you may be at home and, able to spend more time brewing, highgravitybrew.com has a wide range of electric brewing systems to take the pain out of propane. They have their own Warthog brand of controllers and turnkey systems. That's what I have. And I love mine, by the way. And HighGravityBrew.com also has electric gear from other manufacturers, too. From 5 gallons up to 2 barrels, HighGravityBrew.com has you covered. And if you use the code EBC75BB, that's EBC75BB, you can save $75 off your electric brewing purchase. So we're saving you more money, even more money. Tell them we said cheers when you place your order at family-owned and operated HighGravityBrew.com. That's HighGravityBrew.com. Okay, way back, right before the social distancing, right before I went into hiding out here, I got to talk to Christy and Ben from Norfolk Brewing. Talked to Christy in person at a tasting that she was setting up. And then she referred me to Ben, you know, for the details, and I was able to catch him on the phone afterwards. I've been saving these interviews for the show because, as we used to say in the news biz, they're evergreen. You know, they're not dated. So I called Christy recently to ask how they're faring nowadays to make sure everything's going all right. And she said that the distribution for Norfolk has actually grown. So it sounds like Christy's doing a great job. And that's really great news for this cool little brewery. Christy Huff, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. We're back here in the back room of Steve's Brew Shop. And with us is Steve Wilkes.
Hey, James.
We're here to meet another Arkansas brewery. It's incredible. Breweries are just springing up all over the place in the state, including in areas that are far away from the main centers of population. And who are you with, Christy, and where are y'all from?
I'm with Norfolk Brewing Company, and we are located in Norfolk, Arkansas. So that is going to be in between Mountain Home and Calico Rock on Highway 5. A lot of people have no idea where it's at. If you blink, you will miss Norfolk. But we have a brewery and a tap room there.
Oh, nice. Beautiful country over there.
Most definitely.
If you like the great outdoors, if you like water and woods, that part of the country, that part of the state is where it's at.
Oh, most definitely. If you like, I mean, hiking, kayaking, anything, I mean, it's just a beautiful part of the country.
And what's your job there?
I do sales and distribution for the brewery.
Okay. So you're reaching out. You're stretching out toward the populated areas.
Yeah, slowly but surely. We're just kind of sneaking on out there, trying to let people know who we are, where we're at, and, you know, see what we can do.
So what's the origin story of the brewery?
So our owner is Jason Amont. He is he lives currently in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's an environmental attorney that lives in Tulsa. And he had traveled to Arkansas for years. He's an outdoorsman, a huge outdoorsman. You know, he loves hiking, fishing, hunting, anything. And he had traveled to Norfolk several times for vacation. And he went one year and saw this building was up for auction, bought it, and decided, you know, called his nephew, Ben Volta, which is our brewer, and was like, hey, let's start a brewery. They had, you know, yeah, they had done home brews and things like that. And so they started out on this journey, and it's amazing how far they've come. You know, we are just shy of being open 2 years, the brewery and the tap room. Hmm. And about 6 months ago, we started doing self-distribution. And so, you know, we're working on it.
And I understand that the laws in Arkansas are pretty hospitable for breweries and you know, getting started and getting distribution started. So it sounds like you guys are taking advantage of it.
Oh, most definitely. You know, we have the native, I think, native brewer's license. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we can self-distribute. So we're taking advantage of it. And on our part, we're going to do it as long as we can, hopefully forever, I hope. I just feel like it's so more... It's personal. It's more personal and getting out there and telling people who we are and where we're at, because no one knows where Norfolk is. So,
well, this is our plan, at least, is to do a two-part interview. You in person here sampling the beers to us, and then we'll get more details, you know, in the other half of the conversation. But what do you want to taste first?
I would start. Oh, that's difficult. Why don't we start with the Pilsner first?
Okay.
So our Pilsner it's called Woodsman Pilsner. It's going to be like a Czechoslovakian beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you about our yeast. Our yeast is like really special. So it is the pawpaw yeast. It's been extracted from the pawpaw fruit that's native or indigenous to North America, the only fruit that is. And our owner is working on a patent to get on the pawpaw yeast so that no one can use it besides us. And actually no one does use it besides us, like in the entire world. And so it kind of gives you like a little hint of like sweetness in this beer, but it's light, crisp, refreshing. And it's one of the closest things we have to a light beer as of right now. We have another to come.
So, Steve, you're the culinary expert. Are you familiar with the pawpaws?
Well, I was out in the pawpaw patch picking up pawpaws.
And isn't that Peter Carpenter?
I put them in my pocket, and then they got all squishy.
I was just opening them up for that line.
Actually, I've got a couple of homebrewers that make a pawpaw IPA.
Huh?
They go out and they harvest pawpaws out of the pawpaw patch, and they make a pawpaw IPA.
Wow. Hmm? So what is a pawpaw? And I don't know that I've ever seen one or tasted one, or Christy's giving me a look like she didn't know either. So
I have not tasted one myself, and I can't really explain it. But I've been told it's got like a hint of banana flavor to it. And you can also kind of, to me, because of my palate, I kind of get that whenever I drink the Pilsner.
Mm. That's a nice beer. Yeah, pawpaw is actually called sometimes an Ozark banana.
Thought that was you.
That's right. That's Ozark top banana. But yeah, and it does. The flesh is very soft when it's ripe. It's very soft. And it does go to banana. It does taste like a banana, very much like one. And it's just an old-timey fruit that, you know, people have kind of forgotten about. And your Pilsner is very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's nice and clean. It's got a nice bright hoppiness to it. I'm assuming those are noble hops, because there's not a whole lot of like hop fruitiness or grapefruit or tropical fruit. But there is a lingering sort of sweetness on the end of it, and it's interesting. I haven't It's delicious. I don't know that that might, if you're a style purist, it might knock you out of the style guidelines. But it is very nice and makes it very drinkable, and makes me want another sip.
Yeah, I think it's really nice, and I agree. So the yeast was cultivated off of the pawpaw. That might be a brewer's question. I'm not sure, but so it's propagated off of the fruit or off of like the plant. You know what I'm asking? I don't even know how to ask it. But off of the leaf, say that it would be on the plant, or was it propagated from the fruit itself and then allowed to come out? I don't know how to ask the question.
But you just did.
I just did.
I'm assuming it's on the fruit, because like grapes have yeast on them, and I harvested a fig and got some some wild yeast off of a fig at my house. It didn't turn out very well, but so I don't know.
Yeah, you scoop the flesh out of a pawpaw, so you don't eat the outside of the pawpaw.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What I was getting at.
Yeah, that sounds like a technical question.
Yeah.
we will defer. Yeah, we will defer that one.
I'll taste some more of this.
Now we're here in the pre-tasting. You've sent out invitations for people to come and sample your wares, and thank you very much for letting us talk to you beforehand. So how big is the brewery? Talk about the scale of the operation.
So we just recently went from a 1-barrel to a 15-barrel system.
Oh, wow.
It's a jump, but the guys have just rocked it completely. They've done an amazing job. And right now, weekly, we're pumping out about 20 barrels of beer, but we have the capacity to do more. But you don't want to rush things. You don't want to push it. So as of right now, we're just doing 20. And over there, they're, brewing the beer, and they have the canning line over there. And so the canning line runs in three cans at a time. So they have the beer, from the bright tank going over, canning, and they do Ben Fulda. He does it all, from all of the brewing to the canning. He does all of it. So he's got assistance. He's got help from us. But, he's the main man. He's doing a great job. He's the one that, put the system together, with, of course, the help of Mitch and Jason and everyone. And he's learned it from top to bottom and runs it.
Wow. So. Wow, that's big. A 15-barrel brew system, that's I think the biggest in the state is 20. So that's, that's a lot of capacity for Christy to sell.
Definitely.
So what do we got next?
So we have our Black Oak Stout. So this is going to be like a light-bodied stout. It's not sweet. It's not very heavy, very drinkable. Mm-hmm. So you could drink more. You can eat food. And it's going to be more along the lines of an Irish stout. So I'll let you guys try it. You tell me what you think.
And you're canning, so that, you know, that goes good for, you know, packing in for floating the river and such as that. You know, you don't want glass in the river. You don't want glass on the banks.
And we encourage everyone to recycle.
Oh yeah.
When and wherever you can. So we do that in our brewery or in our tap room and the brewery. Our grains, after Ben is done, the mash and everything, it goes to the local pig farm.
Oh yeah.
And they feed all the pigs with that. So for right now, they're not too big, so we'll probably end up having to send it also to the cattle farmers and other people. So we try to, you know, feed them, and eventually they feed us. So
That's nice. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's nice and roasty and kind of sweet, very drinkable. Mm-hmm. There's enough bitterness to prop up the, you know, the sweetness and the roastiness. It kind of reminds me, since I've been drinking so much of it, of my black lager. This is more roasty, more upfront roasty, but there is a certain characteristic in this black lager that I made that makes me wonder if there's, you know, some of that midnight wheat in there or something like that, or you know, I don't know. But there's something familial, you know, there's something related to the beer that I make.
Well, this is just very tasty. It's nice, and you're right, it's nice and light. It's not very, full-bodied, you know. It's just nice, easy-drinking beer. I like it.
Yeah, there's a lot of flavor to it.
Yeah.
It's sophisticated without being... sophisticated yet approachable. How about that? very nice. Mm-hmm. So the brewery is sometimes a customer of yours too, as well, right, Steve?
Mm-hmm. Well, they get odds and ends. I mean, I don't do a lot of business with professional breweries, but I do some. And these folks buy a fair amount of yeast and now and then some grain. You know, if the shipment doesn't come in on time or a lot of times, and these folks, the Norfolk people, they want to do a one-off. It's not yet a production beer, so they're not going to order a large amount of grain. They just need a bag of something just to try a beer out, or they want to try a new yeast that they haven't done yet or something like that. That's generally what we'll do. So they're good customers.
And you're a good backup as well. I know that breweries every now and then it's like, oh, Steve, do you have this? our truck hasn't come in yet. Yeah.
And we were going to brew today.
Yeah.
Our whole production schedule's off. Yeah.
And then what's the third one?
The third one is our Scurvy Dog Ale. Yeah, a lot of people laugh at the name. It's totally fine. I love it. This is... we branded it as an ale, but it's going to be like a New England IPA.
Mm-hmm.
So I love this one, especially on a day like today where it's a little warm outside. Yeah. It's very refreshing. You're going to get like hints of grapefruit. It's citrusy. It's not very high on the IBU scale. It's not bitter. It's got Mosaic hops and Cascade hops in it. I know for sure. I read their book. When they let me sneak in there and read it, and it's delicious.
It smells really good.
Yeah, it's got that great hop nose.
Wow, that's a hop flavor explosion.
Yeah, it sure is. It's almost like hop candy.
Yeah, it's really good. It's boy, I could sit on a riverbank and drink drink a lot of that. It's I have to take another sip. You talk.
Don't look at me. No, it's very good, and it stacks up very well with the best of the West Coast and Colorado beers.
Mm.
You know, with the big hop bomb. It's bright. It's refreshing. It's terrific.
But you're right. There's not a whole lot of bitterness. You know, so it's more the New England, you know, tradition. We've got white cups, so we can't see if it's cloudy or not. But I'm assuming it's hazy.
It's a little hazy.
But it's real juicy, and candy is a good descriptor. Grapefruit, a little bit of cantaloupe, maybe. Not sure. But super.
I got juicy fruit gum.
Juicy fruit. Oh, yeah. It's been a while since I had that.
So, yeah, and by West Coast, I didn't mean that the bitterness. I just meant that real fresh West Coast hop. Mm. You know, the real bright hop flavors.
Wow. That's really good. So are you all distributing here in town now?
We are. We are in Liquor World, and we're on Dixon Street and Dixon Street Liquor. Mm. So those are the two places that we're at now. There will be more to come. You know, just getting out there, meeting people, and doing some footwork to do it. So, but yes, these are the three different kinds that we have, our Scurvy Dog Ale, our Black Oak Stout, and our Woodsman Pilsner. So those are the three we have. By the end of April, beginning of May, we're going to do a release party. We'll be releasing a new beer that's going to be in our cans. It's called Easy Rider. And that is going to be a light, light beer. Hmm. It's going to be, it's Easy Rider Lager is what the name is going to be, or the kind. You know, we have tons of people coming in our tap room from all over the place. Lots of people come down there to go fishing and go hiking or camping and things like that. So we just noticed a lot of the crowd come in and they're like, all right, I drink Miller Lite or Bud Light. What do you got? Yeah. And I'm like, all right. So used to, I would give them the Pilsner. They take it and they drink it, you know, love it. And there's some people that are like, no, I can't. I need the lightest beer you have. I just want light beer. Mm. So the boys got in the bat and got to work on it, and they've created a very light beer. It's 4% ABV. Super easy drinking. You can have, you know, more than one. It's got great clarity. It does look like, you know, any kind of Budweiser brand light beer that mm-hmm. you're going to drink, but it's got so much more flavor to it. Nice. So as soon as that's done, we'll be out and in the stores where we're at now. So,
excellent. Well, I think I know where I may be going after I leave here.
It's really nice.
That's yeah,
really
the good. Yeah, the Scurvy Dog is my favorite, but they're all good. They're all the man. I could drink, you know, a few of those. Those are
super good.
Well, Chrissy, this has been fun, and I appreciate your taking time to talk to us, and I wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's nice to meet you.
Ben Folta, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks for having me.
I just got done talking to Christy and sampling some of your beers, and what we had was delicious. But, you know, Christy wasn't too comfortable in talking about the nuts and bolts and behind the scenes and recipes and things like that. So she deferred to you. And so I take it you are the man with the plan. Are you the brewer at Norfolk?
I am. I'm the original brewer from conception till today.
So tell us the story from your perspective. How did Norfolk get started, and how far have you come?
Close to about 5 years ago, my uncle, who is the owner here, Jason Ahmet, gave me a call back when I lived in New Jersey to go on a hunting trip. And towards the end of it, he had just bought this property out here in Arkansas and pitched the idea to me. And we hatched a nice little plan to start a brewery out here in Arkansas.
Wow.
So about a year later, I came out here. I moved out here from Jersey. I picked up our original brew, Franken brew set from New Hampshire, and drove it out here. And him and I got started brewing all that and going on and learning our little issues, because neither of us have worked in a commercial brewery before.
Yeah, what is your background in brewing?
Very minuscule, honestly. I went to a culinary arts college years ago, and at the last year of that, we had a home brewer, where they taught us how to brew. Essentially, we just did a big batch in school. We learned it. I kind of picked it up as a home brewer after college. From there, you know, I kind of fell out of it because, you know, I skunked a couple beers, and you know how that goes. And my uncle had just gotten interest into home brewing, and you know, he thought that my ability to, you know, understand flavors and his sciencey background, you know, we hope to be able to make something good.
Well, the beers that I tasted today were good. So you apparently, in the past few years have done well. So you started with a small system, but you're not small now.
No, that is correct. We started with a one barrel, which we still currently operate, but we also ramped up to a 15 barrel as well. Right. We got two secondhand brewery systems, a fermenter from Louisiana, and that was originally from my home state of New Jersey, and then 40 years ago, and then an actual brew set from upstate New York. I don't know the name of the breweries that they came from, though.
That's pretty amazing. So what was it like going from a homebrew setup to 15 barrels?
Daunting. But fun. It was a really fun task. We learned from Mike Hall up in Michigan, if you know the name at all. He's built a decent amount of brew sets with Global Brew Industries. They make big brew systems.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned from him, who built the system essentially, and learned the traditional British style of brewing as well. So we're trying to take that into account as we go on. It's pretty much our original one barrel was a home brewer, pretty much a upgraded home brewer setup. Pretty much how we started this.
Wow. So what was the biggest challenge or the biggest learning curve in going from the a one barrel system is a pretty big system for homebrew.
Definitely.
But what was the biggest learning curve in going from and adapting from that system to this big 15 barrel?
Honestly, it's just the system itself. It isn't automated. We've ran a lot of steel piping, so learning how we actually ran that was the biggest learning curve. I spilled a decent amount of beer on the floor or water. I'd hear a stream of water going somewhere and we'd be spending like 5 minutes like trying to find where it went. But, little stuff like that. It pretty much is just, it's the same process. It's very simple. But it's not.
Hmm.
So that makes any sense at all.
Oh, yeah. Were there any challenges with scaling up the recipes or adapting the different ratios of ingredients?
Slightly. We learned that we can't go under 8 barrels on a recipe or else we lose a lot of our efficiency.
Hmm.
Well, that was a big surprise for us. Though I think that was also because of our inability to know the system at that moment. So we'll see from there because we'll try a couple of our other beers that aren't on our, we have our four beers that we're pretty much pushing right now on our big system. And then we're going to start including into our regular tap room beers into our big system as well. So we'll do smaller batches of them to try and get them out to the public, before we get cans for them.
Mm-hmm.
Give them to restaurants and get that type of buzz.
But it sounds like almost a plot to to some kind of sitcom. You're it's almost like Green Acres. You're up in New Jersey and then all of a sudden you're in the middle of northern Arkansas.
I think that to myself a few times.
Christy told us about this pawpaw yeast. Talk about your proprietary pawpaw yeast.
Jason, when he originally started thinking of this idea, he went to one of the craft brewery conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And he met a guy that propagates yeast. Mm-hmm. I know there's an actual word for that.
Like a microbiologist?
There you go. That is the word. So he met this microbiologist in Tennessee. And he specialized in getting wild yeasts, essentially, but not like funking wild yeast, finding what types of fruits are Saccharomyces yeast to be able to brew with. So my uncle asked him if he had ever heard about the pawpaw plant, which grows right here in the North Fork River. And he sent it
to the microbiologist. He was able to extract 9 different yeasts from it. 4 of them were Saccharomyces, and he took the one that looked to be the best for brewing out of that and sent it over to us.
Wow.
We've been using it. And the Pilsner had the pawpaw yeast in it. I think that was, yeah, that's the only one you had that would have had it.
Yeah, the Woodsman Pilsner?
Yep. That was, it gives it that funky Belgian-y taste to it.
Yeah, there's. I said that that if you're a style purist, that you might turn your nose up at it a little bit because there's a little bit of extra. There's a little bit of extra fruitiness at the end that, in my opinion, makes it really delicious. So it's not strictly within the style guidelines, but there is something extra at the end that really makes it interesting.
I agree with you there. We only really started calling it a Pilsner because the grain bill and the hops were very similar to a traditional Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking today. We were, Mitch, who's our general manager here, we're talking today, and he was saying that it tasted kind of like a Belgian wit.
Huh.
And I was like, it's close, but there's no wheat in there.
So the Pilsner is a really simple beer, but just that yeast gives it that extra flavor.
Into it, yeah. It's a different flavor that you're not going to get to a normal Pilsner. I don't know if it is true. I have been curious about that myself. Because some people have said that to me. This is not a Pilsner. I might change the name of it at some point. See where we're actually at with it, but we're running with it for now.
Well, if you called it the Pawpaw Pilsner, that might might tip people off.
Well, we do actually have a Pawpaw Steam Ale.
Oh.
Which our original flagship, which we tried to pay homage to Anchor Steam.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like the that started the craft beer. And since the yeast actually acted like a steam ale style yeast, it was a kind of cool little function with it. But
yeah.
Pilsner took off and pop off.
Yeah, what's it like to work with the yeast? Does it behave like other commercial traditional yeast strains?
It acts like any yeast strain you've ever had, 10 times more efficient.
Huh.
I've been surprised. I've had a whole 15-barrel batch of Pilsner fully fermented in 26 hours.
Wow.
I was like, well, that was a little too fast for me. So.
And is it pretty...
At least I was able to let it cold and condition and clear up, so that was at least a good thing with it.
Is it pretty temperature tolerant? Does it get warm and still be happy?
It does. No real off flavors. If it reached over 75, I was getting a little too funky with it. I'd say it came off a lot like a Hefeweizen, kind of banana-y. So I noticed that one. But apparently it can ferment in colder temperatures, though we've not played with that yet since our original fermentation chamber was just a walk-in that couldn't reach under 58 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. No, 68 degrees, I think, is the coldest we can get the walk-in most days.
Well, that's really cool. And it sounds like there's a potential for you to play with temperature and play with different styles and really come out with some, really interesting beers that are unique, to your brewery.
Yep. Oh, definitely. As we learn our glycol system as well, which is something we've added in with our 15-barrel, it's given me that little twinge in the back of the head to start playing around with some lagers, because I haven't been able to do a true lager yet, and I'd like to. And I'd like to do it with the pawpaw yeast.
So talk about this Scurvy Dog Ale. That was really tasty. In the tradition of the New England tradition, they've only been around for a couple of years, but in the style of, a New England IPA, nice and, hazy and really fruit-forward hop flavors, but yeah. Excessively drinkable.
Oh, yeah. That came with a collaboration between myself and vice president of the local homebrewers.
Oh, nice.
Out here in Arkansas, or out here in Baxter County. And also Jack's Package Good Store. We did it as a special for them. They promoted it, and it kind of blew up from there. Tim Fields and I, you know, we sat down for a few days and really played with the recipe. It was his original idea, and we kind of tailored it to what we had in-house and pretty much took off from there. It's a big seller. I mean, everyone loves it. I'm used to them because of myself and Mitch are actually, I went to college in Vermont. He is from Vermont as well. So that's our normal style of beer. I'm like, I just thought that was a pale ale. And no one out here really has them or had them. I've seen them more and more, at least out in Norfolk area where we have a very limited beer selection.
Yeah. Yeah, you're an oasis, I would imagine, in you know, Baxter County. So talk about the hopping strategy with that beer.
Well, as of now, I think it's something like 30, it's right around 30 pounds, about 2 pounds per barrel.
Wow.
Per hops per addition, and that's one of our 15-barrel batches. So that has been a challenge to try and figure out how to really get a dry hop. You know, we're trying to learn some other stuff and trying to figure out how to really go about it. We've tried CO2. Next one is recirculating, mm-hmm. trying to get our hops into our sealed fermentation vessels has been our biggest challenge with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, keeping the oxygen away is one of the most important things I hear.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I have actually sealed off these chambers and completely pumped them full of CO2. Once I have to cold crash, otherwise they create a vacuum and suck all the water through.
Hmm.
I've learned that one. That is a big one. I was like, why is all the water gone from my bucket? Oh. So, just saying. Little learning curve. But it's a big, fun beer to brew. It was actually the first beer we brewed on our big system as well. Actually, no, it was the second beer. The first one was a stout. So it's a big, gnarly beer, a lot of oats, and a lot of rice hulls. But yeah, it's a fun beer to brew, honestly.
When and where do the hops go?
So we do a major hop addition at the end of fermentation, and then we let it sit in conditioning for 7 days.
So no hops, on the hot side?
We do 2 ounces per barrel on the hot side, around 30 minutes into it.
Huh.
So we have enough to preserve the wort, but I mean, the IBUs are very minuscule. I think it's like 12 IBUs in that.
Right.
So it's just enough to at least add a little hop preservation.
Mm-hmm.
But now we've actually wanted to try on a full zero IBU beer. Mm-hmm. I've had quite a few that are very good, especially out of Superior. They have a great zero IBU.
Yeah, I love Superior. Rose and the crew are great folks down there.
Definitely. But yeah, it's nothing but fun out here.
Well,
that's for sure.
Well, the Scurvy Dog Ale is nice and fresh, and so you know whatever you're doing to keep the you know the freshness in those hops and to keep it you know away from oxygen and keep it from oxidizing and staling, it's you know you're doing a good job.
Oh, definitely. That is one of the biggest obstacles.
Well, Ben, I appreciate your talking to me on such a short notice, and Now, one of my goals is to head over to a Norfolk and sample your beers straight from the source.
Well, you look forward to having you over here.
Well, thanks again to Christy and Ben. those really were some tasty beers. And I'll post photos or a photo of their the artwork for their cans. And those are really cool as well. It would be fun to play around with that pawpaw yeast to see what other styles that it would pair with. And I'm sure that Ben's going to do that. And man, that hazy IPA was super good. Making me thirsty here a little before lunchtime. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form at basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our websites provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned. So long.